Praise you this morning. We're entering in and we've been in your presence, Father, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, Lord, just enjoying your company and having you here with us, Lord, and in us. And Father, I pray as we get into the word this morning, as we learn about more of the Holy Spirit, your ministry and your operation in our life, Lord, that it'll continue to encourage us to grow in our faith as we understand more of who you are and what you've done, that it'll continue now that we get to see some of the useful tools and the useful opportunities and ministries that you have given us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We praise you, thank you for it. Open our minds and hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if I asked you just right off the bat, and I've done this to people over the years just to kind of see what kind of answer they give, but I ask people, what does it mean to live and to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to you? And you get a lot of different answers out of different people. Some people, if you know, pretty much any Christian church that you walk into, they're going to suggest that they have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is present in their church and in their ministry. Most of the people that you'll ask, you know, if they call themselves a Christian, they're going to tell you that they have the Holy Spirit with them, okay, within them. We know that, like I mentioned even before the service, about different kinds of people and where they're at in their relationship with the Holy Spirit, but we know that there are many that have maybe never been born of the Spirit. They've never been, quote, born again, as some people call it. Okay, they've never been born of the Spirit like Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, and yet they consider themselves to be a Christian because they go to church or they live in America or some place where it's considered to be a Christian country, or you know, maybe they grew up in a kind of a Christian home that my mom drug me to church every Sunday. And so they consider themselves to be of a Christian nature because of that. But if you ask someone like that what it means to live and to walk in the Spirit, they're going to start to describe how to be a better person. They're going to describe maybe doing good things for other people. That's part of what they see as walking in the Spirit or being in the Spirit. If you ask someone who is born again or born of the Spirit, as it says in John chapter 3, you might get some similar answers. Someone might say that, it's good to do good things unto people, but they're probably going to add some more comments to it about how being spiritual means being more like God. Okay, because to be more like God, God is a spirit. So if I want to be more spiritual, that means I will be doing and saying the things that are more like God. Okay, then if you get to the next level and you ask someone who is what they say, quote, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, one of these spirit-filled, charismaniac, whatever you want to call them, people, right? Okay, if you ask somebody like that what it means about living a life in the Spirit, you're often going to get a much different answer. The focus you'll find shifts from what we can do to what the Holy Spirit will do through me when I yield to Him. Okay, and that's where, you know, I talk about let's go the next level, let's go the next step, let's go further with God. That yielding to Him and that what some would call the baptism or the immersion in the Holy Spirit is something that is so powerful because it takes that focus from what I can do for God to what God is going to do through me. There's something that happens there that hopefully we'll be able to even explain as we go on. Okay, to be fully immersed or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit simply means to be fully yielded to Him. And it's like the example some of you have heard before. I use it often to describe this. But it's about going beyond wading in the river of God. Okay, the river is here. The river of God is here. And it goes beyond just wading in it. Okay, because if you're wading in a river, you step in and you get up to your knees, or especially if you get up to your waist, if that river's moving with any flow at all, you can feel that pull on you, right? That's the Holy Spirit is trying to pull you in a particular direction. But what happens if you're just wading in the river? That means you still have your feet on the bottom. And so you can resist against that. And you can actually remove yourself from the river when you want to. You want to go home, you step back out of the river, and the river's still there, okay, but you're pulling yourself back out of that. Or even if you're in the river, now some of you have done this, you're fisher guys and ladies, So maybe you've been in a river and you want to go over to that side and you're on this side. If your feet are on the bottom, I can control my direction, even with the current, or I can go against the current. I can move with it or not, right? I can kind of change or go in basically the direction that I want to go. But to be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit, when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, you're taking that step either into the river, okay, you're stepping in or you're jumping in, but picking your feet up off the bottom. Okay, you're not holding anything back. At that point, what happens? You ever throw a stick in a river? Watch where it goes. You know, it goes wherever the river takes it. That's what it means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's why we call it that. That's why we do that, because it's that the symbolization of being baptized means you're going fully under and coming out, right? Okay, so to do that in the river of God when you're referring to the Holy Spirit means I'm not just walking in, I'm jumping in and picking my feet up. I'm getting on my tube, man. I'm going to go. Wherever the river goes, that's where I want to go. And that way I'm not holding back. Okay, and so that way when you do that, you can go and go with His divine flow. You essentially give up all direction and all control over the direction that you want to go, and you're simply going to go in the direction that He wants you to go. Okay, and when you do that, you turn the purpose of your life entirely over into God's hands. It is no longer my own life to live. My life is in the river of God. My life is in with my feet up, and I'm going to flow wherever the river of God wants to use me for His glory. Because that's what He will do, is to take you and use you and put you right where He wants you to be for His glory so that He gets glorified. Okay, the Spirit-filled Christian is the one that longs for the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate through his or her life. Okay, and it puts a considerable amount of focus on the unique third part of the Trinity, okay, the triune God that we serve. It puts a huge focus on the Holy Spirit. For someone that is immersed in the Holy Spirit, for them to walk in the Spirit, to live and to walk in it, means you pray in the Spirit. It means you pursue the spiritual things. You pursue the power and the gifts and the things that He wants to do and to use your life for. It means that if He wants to use you to build up the body of Christ, that's what the spiritual gifts, we'll briefly talk about them today. We'll see where this whole series goes, or maybe may get into that too. But to think about being used by God in a church service, that's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for, was to build up the body of Christ, to solidify it on the things of God. Okay, that's where the prophecy and the word of knowledge and those kind of things would come forth in a service like that. Okay, so to be used that way, that's what a desire of those that are full of the Spirit. We want to be able to be used to effectively lead others to Jesus, to lead more and more efficiently, more effectively lead them unto Christ. The Spirit-filled Christian knows that not only the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit will exponentially manifest the more that we fully yield to Him. When we want the fruits, and I'll describe those a little bit, but when we want the fruits to be evident through our life, we know that by yielding to Him and the Holy Spirit, that's how that's going to happen. Okay, so as I talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I want to summarize them just a little bit. We'll read through a little Bible here and show you what they are, because I want you to sort of see the end from the beginning. So in a sense, I'm going to share with you the desired and expected outcome, so that maybe as you go through your spiritual life, you can see where you may need to develop in order to get to that end. That I'm not quite there yet, that I want more, that I know there's more available and how to get to that end. Now the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are not an end in themselves. Okay, we don't focus on that as an end in themselves. I've got to have the gift of prophecy. That's not my goal. My goal is that is the end result that God's expecting. So I want to know, how do I get to that point where I am free flowing with the Holy Spirit and letting Him do what He wants to do right through my life? Okay, the gifts and the fruit are not an end in themselves, but if we don't ask for and receive and utilize them, we will never fully live and walk in the Holy Spirit like God intended for us to do. Okay, now the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we know I'm not going to read them to you exactly, but they're described in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want a reference. Okay, the word of wisdom being one of those. And like I said, we can go through these, and at some point I may want to break these down a little bit so you understand what they are. If they're going to be the end goal here, how do we get to it if we don't know what they are more? But I just want to name them. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of supernatural faith. Okay, in Corinthians there, it just called it the gift of faith. Okay, now we've all been dealt a measure of faith. It says in other places, this is a gift of faith. It's a supernatural gifting. Now we all have faith to believe, okay, but you have faith for other things, faith in the Lord to provide other things. Okay, the supernatural kind of faith. There's a gift of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are all gifts outlined in 1 Corinthians there of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now all of these, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit manifests them for all of us to profit from. Okay, as a corporate body, they were given to us so that we all may corporately profit from them. And then it goes on to say that He will disperse them individually as He so wills. Now, some people take that to mean that, okay, that means one might get a gift of prophecy and one might get a gift of healings and one might get this. But here's how it works. The Holy Spirit has given these gifts to us. He's offering to them as a corporate body, saying, here they are. And then when people come and ask, He will disperse them individually to whosoever comes to Him and asks for them. Okay, He's going to give them to the people individually as they long for them. I want them all. I don't know about you guys. I don't want a little bit. Okay, think of it like this. If I had, and this will get you excited, if I had $1 million in cash and I said, I'm going to give it to everyone in the service today. That's my goal. I just want to give you $1 million. Okay, now I'm not going to take it and just throw it up in the air and you guys grab for whatever you want. You come up and you say, I have a farm I'm trying to buy and it's $200,000, and I'd say, here you go. Okay, somebody else comes and says, we're doing pretty good. I really can't think of much. Maybe just help pay off my car, $10,000. Here you go. Okay, if somebody came, and here's what I would do. I need it all, brother. I need all that $1 million. I can use it all. I will put it to good use. I promise. I will do my very best with whatever you give me. If you will give it all to me, I will do it. Okay? And you know, the Holy Spirit has more than $1 million. So He would give me $1 million. And then He would give you $1 million. He would give you $1 million. He would give you $1 million. If you wanted it. If you went up and asked for it. If you said, I want as much as I can get. He will give it to you. Okay, that's His nature. He loves to give and to bless. He has given them all for the body of Christ to profit with. And so He's just waiting for people to say, I will use whatever you give me. Okay, and that's that, picking your feet up. Okay, that means I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able. I'll go, I'll do whatever you want to do. Okay, if you need, it's 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 is a good reference for that. Okay, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are also part of that expected end. Okay, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as we yield to His leading and prompting, are going to be in evidence. They're going to be there as well. Okay, they're going to stand out. They are described in Paul's letter pretty detailed to the Galatians, and we'll read this in Galatians 5:22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, number one, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such things that there is no law. Okay, the Amplified Bible really elaborates on what some of the King James language kind of leaves out here, so I want to read it out of that. Galatians 5:22 out of the Amplified says, the fruit of the Spirit, or the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, against such there is no law. Okay, the Apostle Paul continues on in his writing here to define the necessary distinction between the flesh and the spirit. Okay, so that we can better understand what it looks like to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We haven't read that yet, but we're going to. So he says the flesh in its desire is adamantly opposed to the Spirit. Okay, it is against it. The Spirit and the desire of the Spirit oppose the flesh. They're in direct opposition to each other, and they're continually in conflict, flesh and spirit. So that as you, even as a believer, you don't always do the good things that you want to do. Paul refers to that in several places. And the word goes on, though, to tell us that if you're guided and led by the Holy Spirit, you can and will do the right things at the right time. He has put that capacity in us. When we receive and we pick our feet up, I guarantee we will be able to flow in the things that we're supposed to be flowing in. The Apostle Paul details then the evidence of the flesh's rule. So when the flesh is ruling, remember the conflict is always there. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide, and the flesh wants to rule and dominate. Some of the evidence of the flesh's rule includes things like sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, which is a total irresponsibility and lack of self-control. It's just whatever, 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 you know. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes and dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and things like that. He goes on and lists them all out there in Galatians chapter 5 if you want to read through them. I've gone through them before, so today I want to go through the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruits of the flesh. But Galatians 5:24, as Paul kind of sums it up, this is after he goes through and tells all these things. 5:24, he says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." He's explaining how that can be. How can it happen that we live and walk in the Spirit? See, yielded Christians have crucified, or you could say we have purposely put to a shameful death the affections, the desires, and the lusts of the flesh. Okay, your flesh and the Spirit of God are not on the same page. Okay, they're not speaking to each other saying, well, maybe we can do this, maybe we shouldn't. No, your spirit and the flesh are on opposite pages. The Spirit of God within you, however, is always on the same page as God. Okay, the Spirit of God within you is always on the same page with God. He is perfectly in tune with God at all times. He never takes a break. There is never a disconnect between the Spirit of God within you and God Almighty. He never has a weak moment. He never has a hiccup in His oneness with God. It is constant, secure, solid, all the time. And that's who's within you. That's the Holy Spirit that we have. Okay, therefore, in order for the fruits of the Spirit to manifest through you, we need to yield to Him speaking and living through us. He is in perfect tune with God and He is in me. That means I have the capacity to hear that as well. Okay, the Bible says in a different place, no man knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God within him. Okay, and we have that. We have the Spirit of God within him, so we can know these things. Okay, one of the first things that we have to know about walking in the Spirit is that it takes a relentless abundance of humility. And I kind of said that backwards. It takes an abundance of relentless humility. Okay, to walk in the Spirit simply means you're going to be picking your feet up off the bottom and going wherever He takes you. That's part of yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. God, I am a living vessel. Use me, flow through me, do what you want to do through me in my life. And we pick Him up and we go with God. Whatever it takes, wherever He leads and whatever He does. Okay, are you willing to do that? Okay, that's the humility. That's the beginning of it. You ask yourself, if God tugs on your heart today and He says, come in a little bit deeper into my river, are you willing to do that? Would you take that next step deeper into God, knowing that you might just step into a channel of that river If you've ever been in rivers and streams and stuff, you know there's a place where you step and then you're going in, right? If that next step may take you to that point, it may just take you clean over your head. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to step in and go that next step anyway? I'm willing to do that with God. I'll tell you what. I want it more than anything in the world. I want God. I want more of Him, more of His flow and His power, more understanding of the Holy Spirit. And if He says, Gary, come on, brother, I'm going. I'm not even packing my bags. I'm just going. Okay? I want as much of Him as we can get. Okay? And if there's more, and I know there is, I'm willing to do that. What we don't want to do is to let your flesh talk you out of it. Okay? Don't let your flesh say, nah, I know, but it might be deep. It might be too much. Okay? Your flesh thinks that it has God all figured out. Your flesh has taken God and defined Him and put Him in a carefully constructed box. Okay? God would never make me feel uncomfortable like that. God would never want to do that through me. God doesn't want me to do that kind of stuff. You know, that stuff isn't really happening anymore. And what am I talking about? The gifts and fruits of the Spirit. Is that stuff really active? Is it really happening today? Would God ever want to use you to do that? I say absolutely yes. I know that He does. Okay, your flesh knows your body. That's what your flesh knows. Your flesh is very well in tune with your body and with your mental intellect, with the carnality in your mind. Okay, the carnal part of us, you know, that part of the mind that says maybe God's real, maybe God's not, that carnal part of the mind that doubts the power of God, the carnal part of the mind that doubts that God loves them, that's the carnality, and your flesh is in tune with that, and it understands that, and it will always err to the side of securing the flesh, maintaining the flesh, keeping your flesh solid and secure. Your flesh wants to help the flesh, in other words. Okay, Jesus alluded to this interaction when He was talking to the disciples. You remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane and He told them, hey guys, just stay here. Wait here, pray for me, you stand in the gap for me. I'm going to go on ahead and pray and talk and be alone with my Father. And what did He do? He goes and He's alone with His Father. This is the prayer of Gethsemane. God, Lord, not my own will, but Your will be done. Jesus was in the heat, the height of His human flesh battle right then and there. And He goes back to His disciples. And what were they doing? They were sound asleep. Okay? They were sound asleep. Their bodies had been in tune with their flesh. And the two of them agreed that we don't need to pray for Jesus. He can handle it on His own. We don't need to stand in the gap. We don't need to do what Jesus just asked us to do. And they listened to the flesh, and the flesh put them right to sleep. Let's read this in Matthew 26, verse 40. He says, He comes unto His disciples, and He finds them asleep, and He says to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, the spirit of God within you is not weak. The spirit of God within you has no weakness. It is absolutely strong. Okay, the spirit has no weakness. There is no weakness in your spirit. Some would say that, you know, jumping ahead, the Spirit of God within you does not grow weary. Okay, it does not get tired and worn out. Okay, sometimes we try to suppress it through doubts and other things, but it will not grow weary. It will always stand faithful and strong with God. The Spirit of God within you is powerful. It is discerning, constantly discerning, so that it will keep you from trouble and harm and harm's way and wrong things and temptation. The Spirit of God is always in tune with God, discerning what is next in your path, what that next step is going to take. The Spirit of God within you is absolutely willing and able to do exactly what the will and desires of God is for your life. Your spirit is connected with God in that way. Okay? The weakness is in your flesh. Okay? That is the flesh being weak but the spirit being strong. There is no weakness in your spirit. Some people may say, well, I have a weakness for chocolate. Okay, or I have a weakness for whatever. Ladies that say men in uniform, or guys that I have a weakness for blondes, or I have a weakness for this or for that. Okay, that weakness is not in your spirit. It is in your flesh. Okay, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. The spirit is strong and willing to do the right thing. Okay, you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. He is willing and able to help you do the right thing every time. He wants to manifest His gifts through your life. He desires to flow His fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness, self-control. He wants to glorify God through your life if you will let Him. Okay, and when you decide that maybe you don't have God all figured out, that will help. Okay, it will lead you on that right step, that next place that you can, next thing you can do is just figure out what I know right now. I'm laying it down and I'm just going to go with God. Holy Spirit, I trust You and I lean on You. Flow through me. Do what You want to do through my life. And He will lead and He will guide. He will take control. When you yield to the Spirit of God within you, then you end up being under the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit instead of being governed by your flesh. Okay? Now that's just kind of a beginning of where we're going with all this. Over the next few weeks, we're going to delve into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're going to press into Him and embark on a journey that's going to take us through the yielding process so we understand what it means to be fully flowing with the flow of God, to live and to walk in the Spirit. Hopefully we'll experience it firsthand what it means to live and to walk in the Spirit. I want it more than anything right now. I want to live and walk in the Spirit. I just want to flow with the things of God. And so that's where I hope to take us, that we can go that, figure these things out, understanding that it's by the Spirit of God working and doing things through us that these things are going to happen. Okay, so we'll go through this. Father God, we praise You in Jesus' name. We lift You up and exalt You as the Almighty God, the Creator of all that we see and all that is unseen, Lord. And we trust in You. We yield ourselves to You and we pray, Lord, have Your way. Take us and lead us in Your path. Lead us in the way of understanding that You understand, the way that we know that we can trust and rely that You've got it figured out, Lord. And we trust and yield to that. We yield to You. Father, we understand our place in this, Lord, that You are using us as willing vessels to carry out Your ministry of reconciliation, to carry out Your word and the gospel to the people around us, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, use and flow through us in such a manner, Lord. I pray that as we continue going into Your word, Lord, over the next few weeks, that You will powerfully influence and change our lives, Lord, continually steering us by Your Spirit into the right and appropriate things, Lord, that we grow in faith towards You and our trust in You just grow stronger than ever before. And we enjoy and walk in the freedom that You have provided for us through Your Holy Spirit, Lord. We praise You, we thank You, and we give You all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and our precious Lord. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Amen and amen.